Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Jessie Cruikshank, and I've always been told I have a face for podcasting. So I launched a podcast. It's called Phone a Friend because each week I'll break down the biggest stories in pop culture. But when I have questions, I get to phone a friend. I'll phone a royal watcher to find out why Prince Harry is acting like a real housewife. I'll phone a tween to please explain Euphoria. And maybe I'll even phone a Backstreet Boy to find out if I still have a chance. I don't? Okay. New episodes drop every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
This is The Cinemile. It's the podcast where we walk home from the movies. And today we're walking to the movies to see Fast. It's either called Fast 9 or Furious 9 or possibly Fast and Furious 9 or possibly The Fast and The Furious 9. It's one of those.
Is this like one of the few movie franchises in the world like that has a straight 1 to 9 run?
Good question. Let's come back after the break and answer that question.
I've never heard. I mean, obviously you've got like Star Wars, which is like, you know, there's like
three trilogies.
That's what I mean. This ninth is a lot.
This is Vin Diesel and pretty much a lot of the consistent, like, because it's a consistent cast, but it's this cast that seems to keep on growing because every movie, the bad guy from the previous movie becomes a part of the family.
Plus, this is the ninth movie, and then there's the movie that we've also talked about in this podcast called Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, I think we've done a couple of these now. We've definitely watched Fate, The Fate and The Furious.
Yeah, fascinating.
And I think we might have done the seventh one. If you're new to this and you don't know our feelings on this, pretty much the same feelings as any sensible person has, which these movies are the best movies ever made,
no.
Right? No, they're not.
They're enjoyable.
They're really fun.
And ridiculous and ostentatious and awful and boring and thrilling in equal measure. Like they offer
they're
so much.
They're so weird, and it's such an interesting saga, I think, as it describes itself.
Interesting is a strong word.
The thing is really interesting to me because it's like, as you say, it's like how many franchises get to 9 films, and if we transported me back 20 years ago to watching Fast and the Furious in Cork's Gate Cinema.
Which we're going to tonight, by the way.
Yes.
So all of our Cork listeners, we're home in Cork for a few weeks and we're going to the Gate Cinema in Mallow tonight.
That's right. We're all the way back to the... It's consistent. I saw the first one in the Gate Cinema. And if you told me then, you know, is this going to have more sequels than The Matrix? probably would have banked on The Matrix.
I mean, this is a billion-dollar franchise.
It's incredible, and it also bears no resemblance to what that movie was, which was do you remember The Fast and the Furious?
No.
The Fast and the Furious is essentially Point Break, where Paul Walker is an FBI agent who goes undercover to bust a street racing gang who are stealing DVD players. That is the plot of that movie.
And now they jump
now,
from Dubai.
For the past 5 or 6 movies, they're somehow secret agents and the world's last defense.
But they're basically like Mission Impossible.
Against car-based criminals.
It's Mission Impossible, but if it wasn't just a lone man, it's a group of people and like everything has to be done in cars.
Everything is cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, the answer to every problem is cars.
I do remember though, as I'm thinking about it now, the last, obviously, like I've never rewatched any of them, and I watch them and usually enjoy them and then forget about them, but now that we're talking and doing the podcast, I do remember last time just being really kind of grossed out and bummed out by like the violence, like the extreme violence and the extreme lack of care, for want of a better word, of like pedestrians and
wanton
other
destruction.
They want and destruction streets.
Do you remember the one? They're always driving through city streets.
But they all have guns and stuff, and it's like, wait, why do you all have guns? Like, I don't remember when it evolved into being. And actually, I like.
Yeah, it used to
by
be
the
just
way,
street racing. They were. Just
I like
racing.
Action. I actually like violent action movies as a genre, but I just don't know when this series became that.
That's
why
what
are they
I mean.
All
it's
running
really,
around with guns now?
It's really morphed into something really weird and interesting. And it seems to me this franchise is like so weird to me because it's kind of
Like, Helen Mirren's in it. What's that about?
I know, they keep picking up cast members. Like, it is like the Marvel Cinematic Universe for Universal in many ways. And it now has spin-off movies like Hobbs and Shaw. But it's like, for me, this franchise means something. It's like this weird amalgamation, like most movies are, of like a load of different collaborators. And I think it means something different to all those people. Like, I think you've got Vin Diesel at the center of all of this, who thinks, I swear to God, he thinks...
What are you swearing to God?
He's in the most serious, po-faced, like... dramatic move. This, like, he treats this stuff like Oscar worthy stuff, and I think he believes it. Like, I believe when he's up there spouting about, like, family is the most important thing, and I'm just like, he's in that. He's Dominic Toretto. And then you've got Ludacris and Tyrese Gibson, who are in a different movie altogether.
Then you've got Charlize Theron and Helen Mirren.
And then you've got like, I think the writers of this movie kind of get it. I think the writers of this franchise get that what the audience want, and they're just upping the stakes. You know, submarines, cars out of planes. So, like,
I haven't seen the trailer for this one. I know you've seen the trailer, but I haven't, so no spoilers.
Fine. They're making a silly different movie that Vin Diesel doesn't realize he's in.
But is it and true then you've that, like, Vin Universal. Diesel and The Rock hate each other, and, like, that's why The Rock's,
yeah, all that's true. Tyrese Gibson is, you can go watch his Instagrams where he says that The Rock and Jason Statham have betrayed the Fast Fam by splitting off. It's like there's all this epic behind the scenes drama happening as well. So this franchise is just gives and gives and gives, and I love it.
But I've just now suddenly, I just have a notion that I may have vowed to never watch one of these movies again.
I don't
think
you did. They're fun. Anyway, look, we'll be going. Let's go in and watch it. We'll pick up after the movie.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
The world has a way of changing. And we change too. I know some people, they would die for me. There are moments that separate us. They're my family. But we always come back together.
We heard y'all needed a little love out here.
Y'all ever thought about the wild missions we've been on? We've taken out planes, trains, tanks. I'm not going to even think about the submarine. And now we got cars flying in the air? Who is he?
Jacob is Dom's brother.
Been a long time, Dom. Little brother.
You always say never turn your back on family. But you turned your back on me. Now your little family is in my world.
Right, we're back. We've seen the Fast and the Furious 9.
I don't know what I can say because I don't know what's a spoiler or not.
Well, don't say anything. So if it's your first time at the cinema, there are no spoilers until you turn onto Spoiler Street.
And today's Spoiler Street's in Mallow, okay?
Shortly.
North
Cork. Yeah, it's very quiet here at the moment. So I came out of that. I'm largely satisfied now. But I actually felt, and I think you had the same feeling, I was quite bored for the first half of that. Right, that was quite. It took a while for that to get into gear.
Right, it's really interesting because you've got like a 2 minute setup and then straight into the movie, and like the pacing was very odd and dull. And like at one point, I actually turned to Dave and said, like, if we were doing a podcast on this, I don't know that I'd stay and watch it.
Yeah, I wasn't with it for a long time.
And then, probably in the last third of the movie, it genuinely was. All the things I like about Fast and Furious, like I was laughing at how ludicrous it was, and there was some brilliant set pieces and unfathomable plot and all sorts of family shenanigans and friends catching each other, you know, falling out of vehicles, all the stuff I like.
It became a checklist of things, and it worked.
The beginning was dull, and I think it's getting a bit caught up in itself. And at the beginning, it was, well, there was some pathetically unfunny efforts at humor. A lot of it was like. Like, I know I levy this criticism a lot, but like taking itself too seriously, and the plot was just kind of overly complex, like, but also too simple, and that's a weird thing to say, but like
that's exactly right.
They're suddenly just in this mission, and like you don't understand why they're in the mission. So like I feel like from a writing perspective, like, I need to buy the fact that a lot of people who are supposedly retired, right, I need to buy why somebody's now not retired and is back in this very dangerous action
and you
scene.
Get nothing.
Nothing.
You, what they, all they feed you for the reason, for the motivation is, this is who we are, Dom. Or you get, and it's like, so that's why you're abandoning your child to risk your life.
But they're probably like, this is the ninth film as well. Like, we've established these people like doing this stuff. But that's too glossed over. But then the actual heist is so overly complex that there was multiple points in the movie I didn't actually understand what was happening.
No, you're right. It's not like there's no real character motivation here. A lot of it is just checkbox MacGuffins and things and
then,
glow,
like,
popping for the sake
funnily,
of it.
Right before we went in, one of our long term listeners, Zombie Kitty, hi Zombie Kitty, literally popped up on Twitter as we were going into cinema saying, Kathy and Dave, I really want you to go and see Fast and the Furious because it makes no sense.
Your wish is our command. But that's consistent because none of the other movies make any sense either, and I can't remember any details about any of them except
I remember enjoying
the set
Hobbs
pieces.
And Shaw.
That's the bit you remember. I remember submarines and I remember them driving over ice. Like, that's the stuff you remember. The plots are farcical and completely throwaway.
This movie though did feel to me, and I wonder again, is it just a memory gap because I haven't seen one in ages, but like, this felt like a particular vanity project for Vin Diesel though.
Yeah, and I think this is the problem. I think when you take The Rock and Jason Statham,
who are very fun,
out of this, they are the opposite of Vin Diesel because they are actors who are aware of the movie that they're in and lean into the silliness the way that to be fair, Ludacris and Tyrese Gibson do. But when you take out those characters who are the big action heroes who are just kind of having fun, like, because Tyrese Gibson and Ludacris are the comic relief, that's always been their place, but everyone else is kind of just like still doing the posturing and the posing, but they're still landing one-liners and stuff.
But
that's
Vin
what
Diesel,
the, that's what The Rock and Jason Statham are doing. But Vin Diesel is like unbearably, like, po-faced.
But is he unbearably po-faced? But also, I don't recall this, and again, it may be a memory gap, like, I don't recall his character, like, his physical body, that he's actually a superhero.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like,
okay.
He's doing
can
Superman
we go to,
lending
can
left,
we go,
right, and centre.
Can we go to spoiler street? Because he's a producer in this movie, right? And it's just like,
an
and I feel like, human. I feel like he's, the, like, this, you know the famous thing about Mariah Carey and, like, a bowl of single coloured M&Ms. You know these, the examples that get wheeled out of people with unrealistic demands. I feel like Vin Diesel is so inextricably linked with this franchise in that he's an actual producer, not executive producer, he's PGA producer credit on this, that he probably, before anything even starts, being like pen to paper or anything, is like, right, so there's going to be a scene where I roll up and there's just ridiculously young, attractive women. No men. I don't want to see any men. It's just Vin Diesel and all these women. There's cars. There's just lots of cars.
And, like, there's hundreds
there's
of those
big
women
house.
Dancing.
And it's like that scene is in every one of these movies. And then there's a, you know, there's a Corona. There's a fucking Corona on ice and everyone's having a barbecue at one stage.
But it's more like, that he wants to be like... And again, like, I'm not speaking for Vin Diesel.
He is a superhero,
man,
though, you're right.
But in this movie, he is a superhero, and I just don't recall that happening before.
Yeah.
No. I don't recall him having superhuman abilities.
There's nobody... Now, they kind of tried... Can we go to spoiler street, right? So, do we recommend this? I mean, it's more of the same.
Eight movies in, why stop now?
For me, it's not one of the stronger entries at all. It's definitely... This is mid-tier
I think
Fast
the one two
the
movies ago. I think number seven... was a good one, right?
Honestly, I can't tell them apart anymore. I'm not even joking. There's a submarine, there's Dubai Towers at some stage, but they're all blurring together. I couldn't tell you. Certainly seven and eight. Who knows?
Somebody in the garden watched them all back, the Guardian watched them all back to back over like a long weekend.
Oh, I couldn't do that.
It's too much.
Anyway, so yeah, look, it's
Spoiler Street for Fast and the
Satisfactory Fast and the Furious. Spoiler Street now. Yes, spoiler, 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 spoiler.
Spoiler. And just so, while you're having your spoiler warning, maybe like, you know, going to turn your podcast app off, Gate Cinema still has the best popcorn in the game. Unbeatable.
Do you reckon?
I thought
it was about a 7 out of 10.
No. I was born and raised and weaned on Gate Cinema popcorn.
You were weaned on Gate Cinema popcorn?
I was, yeah.
Okay.
Picking up with my parents, it was an odd choice.
Right. it was. Okay, so... To the bit, let's start with where your referring to with Vin Diesel and that scene, which again I feel like he probably wrote himself. I feel like he would have muscled into the writer's room and be like, there's going to be a scene where he sacrifices himself.
That happened too quickly. I was like, I don't understand what he's doing. He was in like a water tower.
He like closes the door on them and does the like Spock in Wrath of Khan thing. It was like, save yourselves. And it was like, why? Why didn't you just also leave? Because they were behind a door. And then he fights off 40 guys by himself.
And at one point, there's 20 of them on top of them of hitting him, right? And he's not even feeling it. And he just raises his two forearms and they just all brush off. And then he jumps up.
Then he grabs something from the ceiling and pulls the ceiling down on everyone's head somehow.
And then he falls like, I don't know, 500 feet into water. And then has this kind of...
And has a vision.
Vision, because he's seeing things that he never witnessed.
Well, that's what I liked. He was having... So some of it was
like
him.
It was like he was time travelling.
Like him... Some of it... A lot of it was his memories all being pieced together in a revelation, right? And I get that, like, he's piecing together the phone call that validates his brother's theory... His brother's suggestion that his dad was poor. But the bit where he, like, is watching his brother fix the car or whatever and do the thing, it's like, that's, you didn't see that. It was like, what are you just having some sort
traveled.
Of omniscient vision now?
But yeah, that scene was just like, I was like, and then following that scene,
absurd.
I know we're jumping ahead towards the end of it, but like they're like following the giant tank right down the streets, and like he
which was
flips.
Great fun.
That was
really good.
That was when I was really into it, and him and his brother like flipped the tank, and then Vin Diesel just like, it's just jumping from roof to roof of cars and tanks and like exploding, driving exploding cars and jumping to other cars and using magnets to pull other cars. And everyone's like, Vin Diesel, you can't just leap from moving car to moving car. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like usually when things like, in fairness to like a Mission Impossible or something, or like a Jack Reacher, because obviously Tom Cruise is the example of this being done well. When you're watching those movies, like, they make Tom Cruise a little bit fallible and like you feel like he might get hurt, but Vin Diesel wasn't even breaking it. He was in a tank that was on fire.
Tom
and he
Cruise,
wasn't sweating.
Tom Cruise gets beat up, right? And that's why he's such a good action hero. Even when he's ridiculous and he's running, like, he often gets the wind knocked out of him. Or like a great example is that Mission Impossible scene, minor spoilers, where he's like done the underwater thing and then go straight into another action scene and he's winded.
Yeah, he's wrecked.
And he like can't roll over a car properly. That for me is like how you do action movies and action characters. Vin Diesel, again, I think he's written into his contract that he's just a Superman, which makes him incredibly uninteresting.
It's so boring. Like, there's one scene where him and someone else were like wrestling on the roof or something and I was just like, there's no peril here.
No.
And like with Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible, there'd be like
absurd.
A gadget. Like Tom Cruise doesn't just scale the Burj Khalifa. There's like a reason he's got a fucking magnetic glove. You know what I mean? Whereas Vin Diesel is actually just scaling
a
building.
Like, I'll get in a car. I'll get in a car. Actually, we're going to the jungle, Dom. So, you know, you might want to have an off-road vehicle like the rest of us. I'm going to be in this cool, speedy fucking Ford GT.
I just remembered, was it the last movie or the one before where they were like on ice caps?
Yeah, and that's the submarine one. Yeah. Anyway, like he's absurd. There's a whole super, like he rolls out of new moving vehicles and does this literally a superhero pose.
Yeah.
Like he's like Dominic Toretto is a farcical character, but he's
for
me.
Yeah, but Dave, his origin story. This is a true superhero movie.
Then when you link him back to like, oh no, he's just like a guy working in a NASCAR pit stop
thing
with his dad. But in
1989.
Yeah, but how absurd. First of all, that he's got a brother which nobody has ever mentioned in 9 movies.
I mean, you think the sister would have mentioned him.
Yeah. Oh no. Oh, never mentioned that brother.
Though I guess maybe if you thought your brother had like murdered your dad, you might keep
it quiet. I guess. But like,
him.
How like brilliant that these two brothers have like gone on these completely different life paths, but both ended up being super spies for the same Kurt Russell.
I'm like, this is what I don't understand about the Fast and the Furious. Like, who do they work for?
This is the franchise is so knotted up in its own mythology that you've got like. There were people popping in and out of this movie who I was like, I know that guy, but it was like, is he in the Fast and the Furious?
But like at the very beginning, Vin Diesel and Michelle Rodriguez are like, oh, they live on a farm and they've got like a kid and they're like, we've got no running water, but that's the price we pay for anonymity. I can't say the word.
Yeah. Good job.
Anonymity. How do you say the word?
Anonymity.
Anyway, that's the price we pay for being off the grid. 2 seconds later, everyone shows up. It's like we got one scene, and the scene was just that poor child using a wrench. Anyway, and
so
then everyone shows up, and they're like, oh, look, this one thing happened where something happened, Kurt Russell, and it was Charlize Theron. And then they're like,
Mr. Nobody needs our help. And we're the only people he sent this to. And even he's, what is he? It's like the top secret, like, military intelligence thing called the agency. And he decides, no, the only person I can send this
to. That's what makes no sense. Like,
Dominic Toretto.
If they didn't need to be involved and no one was asking them to. And that's what I mean about, like.
And why are they doing it?
It's like, because it's Charlize Theron.
And then they try to make it. The way they try to get Dom in that moment is, we're going after the woman that killed the mother of your child. And then that is kind of not the point of the movie. And she's literally in a box. She's in a box the whole movie. And he also doesn't seem to be interested.
Charlize Theron filmed all her scenes on her own. She's not on screen with anybody else in the movie.
Did you notice she
didn't film with anyone else. But what's interesting is, like, but she killed your son's mother. Okay, well then maybe we should take a life lesson from this, and maybe Vin Diesel shouldn't, in the next scene, be in the jungle driving over landmines.
Scene. Even though that's all I could think about. Your poor child. Poor child is hiding in a bunker somewhere.
They sent him to Paul Walker.
When I was bored for the first half of this movie, all I was picturing was, like, all this is happening. Cut to Paul Walker playing with three kids.
I know, yeah.
Making their dinner.
I actually think it's very sweet how they always reference him in the movies.
Yeah, it is nice.
And
the end is nice.
I
quite like that as well.
What did you think about Dom's, like, origin story, though?
I mean, it was pretty banal.
It was more compelling than the first, all the other stuff in the first half of the movie, though.
I mean, the only thing that was interesting to me was that it was 1989, and then I was trying to figure out, so wait, is he actually 50? Are they playing...
Vin Diesel would be.
Just because Vin Diesel is 50 doesn't mean that super-powered Dom Toretto isn't 34 years old, which is probably what he thinks he is.
I just think, like...
You know what I mean?
I just love that him and his brother and, like, this awful thing happens to their dad, and then, like, how Vin Diesel, from a very young age, like, resolved any issue was just, like, by racing someone.
Yeah, exactly. This is just like, I better make you a deal.
And, like, until the very end of the movie, I actually didn't know Vin Diesel and Michelle Rodriguez were a couple. I have never seen...
They have no chemistry.
They have no chemistry, but they also don't interact physically.
This is probably in her contract. Interact physically with Vin Diesel.
Don't make me kiss him. I will. Of course, though, she jumps down the water tower and jumps all the way to the bottom and rescues him.
There's too much happening in this movie. And then, like,
it's too much, but not enough.
Don't forget that her plot was character who died, who disappeared for a long time, bring him back from the dead, is a bad guy. This movie is character who died a long time ago. Is brought back from the dead
to do nothing.
Is actually part of the super secret spy organization that you've all been part of. It's like, does Mr. Nobody recruit every character?
No, also their friend who I didn't remember at all, who, like, apparently died,
Giselle,
and came back again.
Giselle is definitely dead, by the way. She's definitely dead, and there's no way she's ever coming back
in a
future movie. Yeah,
well, she's not coming back because she's tied into Wonder Woman.
No, I'm joking. She's how much they've been in negotiations with her for 5 years, probably.
No, but anyway,
she'll show up in Fast 12
when your man came back.
But she'll have been brainwashed to be evil, and then Han will...
When your man came back, he just happened to have the key to the MacGuffin, like, who was also his adopted daughter.
Oh, and as you rightly pointed out to me before we started the podcast, he decided to reveal this information in front of the bad guy who was listening through
and
the...
And also bring her to the vault.
Yeah.
Like, if she's the key, right, and you need her DNA, first of all, don't bring it with you. Second of all, when we saw her actually bring the two MacGuffins together, she just did it with her hands, and I was like, DNA is not fingerprints.
Yeah, exactly.
She hasn't put her blood in anything. Also, she hasn't put any, like, what?
Why did they design a computer virus that exists in a giant, like, crystal maze ball?
But they were
that's
supposed
like a Borg
to be
thing.
Why did they invent this virus at all?
Yeah, I know. And if they were worried about it getting into the wrong hands, don't invent it.
Why did Charlize
Don't
Theron...
Don't lock it up with your DNA.
Why did Charlize Theron have a pudding bowl? I think what happened is that they retrospectively wrote Charlize Theron into the movie during COVID.
Yeah.
So she had to film all her scenes in a plastic box for isolation, and she cut her own hair.
And in quarantine, she went mad and had a pudding bowl.
No, that's a genuine theory. I'm not even being farcical.
Why not?
Because she was clearly an add-on to the movie just to add more layers. Like, they even have the point of her flying a drone from, like, a box on her own.
Yeah.
I did enjoy it. She taunted the brother. And she was like, I read your second grade elementary report.
I love all that.
She's great.
I liked her Genghis Khan line.
That was really good. What about Helen Mirren just like randomly showing off?
But I mean, yeah, there's too much. There's damn too much in here. Like, I was a bit like, just, I couldn't get a sense of bearings.
I loved all the stuff in Edinburgh, just because we used to live in Edinburgh.
Edinburgh stuff was quite, yeah, it was quite fun. All the magnet stuff was very. Hats off to Justin Lin, the director, who's directed like the last five of these, and he is doing an amazing job as always. These action scenes are so well choreographed, and so well thought out. Like the magnet things, was very clever in the whole Edinburgh thing, and then I liked that they kept that as a thread throughout the rest of it. Like, it was just a lot of fun with magnets. I'm sure that the physics don't work out and someone will have a fun YouTube video.
I just remembered that we forgot to talk about the two people who went to space.
Oh, gotcha. So that's been the whole thing in the background of Fast and the Furious. Like, what's next? You've driven like cars out of airplanes, cars against submarines, and everybody, the audience, has been saying like cars in space. So it's like, that's definitely a nod to them having listened to the feedback. Like, where do you go from here? So I'm like, I love that. I love that they did that. I was on board.
Like, it looked so cheap as well.
Oh, it was fun.
It was fun. It was silly. And
and those two are really good together. Chris and Tyrese.
I really enjoy them. Those two are funny. And then the other funny one is, I don't know her name, but she's from Game of Thrones. And when the scene where she turned out she claimed she couldn't drive.
That was great.
That was good.
But then by the end of the scene, she was just driving like the rest of them. So like, but no, that was good. That for me is like, harking back to what we were talking about earlier about Vin Diesel being invincible. And I know the movie tries to be meta by having Roman say, you know, do the whole thing about, God, I've never had a scratch, are we invincible? But like, that's more interesting when she has a flaw. She's instantly more interesting. Like, that's way more interesting of a setup, like a character who can't drive doing these ridiculous things.
But like, Vin Diesel and his brother, like, how have two brothers ever been more alike?
I thought he was boring. I know, I couldn't tell them apart at one stage. They're twins.
I liked him. No, I mean, I don't mean physically, I mean like in terms of like their skills.
Well, they're the same. They're literally the same person. They are super spies who use cars.
Enjoyed him, the brother, and it annoyed me for most of the movie, trying to think what I knew him from, and I still don't know what I knew him from. But like, I thought, in fairness, I thought he made sense as his brother. I thought it was good casting. I liked the story. I like that now, of course, we've got someone for the next movie to be a partner
he's
to them.
Part of the crew now.
But he just like, yeah. I don't know. I like, one of my main things actually I wanted to talk about, as I'm like desperately trying to remember what else I wanted to talk about with this mess of a movie, but some actors are really good at acting like they're driving and some aren't. Helen Mirren was like, she was sitting back in an armchair having a fag, right?
yeah and then you cut to the car and it's like doing this mad stuff and she's just like,
Helen Mirren could not have been more chilled.
She's out for a Sunday drive,
actually, like. She's sitting back and smoking a joint. She was that chilled. And then you've got like Michelle Rodriguez, who literally, I'm like, is she doing her own stunts? Because she's so good at, if she's not doing some
she's
of them,
good at the physicality,
she's amazing at acting doing stuff
for sure.
Like at one point, Michelle Rodriguez or Vin Diesel, they multiple times they save each other's lives in this movie, but every time they just like lock eyes in this really asexually intense way, and that's why I kept being like, are they a couple? Aren't they? Are they just like best mates?
Speaking of locking eyes, my favorite shot of any Fast and the Furious movie is the one where Vin Diesel drives past someone going the other way in slow motion and locks eyes with them.
Oh, but right? With his brother, at least 20 times.
But that's his brother. He's done it with Jason Statham when he was the bad guy. There was just like, there's always that moment where he rides by slowly and locks
eyes. Dave's doing it to me. And it's weird.
If I could do that if I could be driving, that'd be my like lifelong ambition. If I could be driving down the M25 and then
down
I see Vin Diesel coming the other way and then we slow down and lock eyes
at 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And also over landmines
as
well.
And then he flips a magnet over my car.
And that thing where like they can all always hear each other no matter what they're doing, it's just like,
oh, they're all in constant communication. Yeah. Through earpieces or whatever.
I don't know if we've much else to say. Kurt Russell, where were you? Why were you only in
that
like...
was, I mean, but like, why? The whole setup of the movie was like, Kurt Russell's in trouble, we need to help him. And then it's like, wait, where is he? Is he okay? What's happened?
Did you feel like the bad guy, the German kind of rich kid, was just like a really like Z-less version of the guy from Captain America and the Winter Soldier?
Daniel Gruhl. Yeah.
I felt like it should have been Daniel Gruhl and then they just got this guy instead.
Yeah, he was a bit all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's a weird... It's a weird movie. It's a weird franchise. It's just like it shouldn't exist. I'm like, so it's just like organically formed over the years, hasn't it? And it's just become something else.
I'm huge.
Really, like, enjoying watching it evolve. Long may it continue. I'll keep watching.
And you know what? I'm all for
movies.
Like being happy to see a big action movie back in the cinema again, of course, yeah, after the year we've had. So in that sense, I very much enjoyed it, like being on the big screen and like being in the cinema, of course,
it was
in
fun.
Cork.
It's but a good, like, cinema movie.
So like I'm struggling as we speak, and we've just seen it, to talk about it.
Yeah, I won't remember. Like next time, yeah, when we're at F10, I'll probably be like, I'll be like, John Cena was in it, I think.
Charlize Theron had a really bad haircut.
Yeah.
But what happened to Charlize Theron at the end? Did she just walk off set?
She just walked off the set, yeah.
Yeah.
She was like, she'd done all her scenes in one day. She was like, thanks, where do I get my check?
She probably did it all, yeah, in front of like a green screen, like in her backyard.
I can't wait to see her haircut in the next one. She had dreadlocks in the last one, I do remember that.
Yeah, and also like just some of the coincidences are just so silly. Like when the two women are in like Tokyo having their dinner, and then they just so very happen to be sitting outside the apartment of their friend who's been pretending to be dead, and then
they see a Mexican
reason,
flag, and that's enough to.
But then for some reason there's like 20 armed men outside the apartment,
oh yeah,
wanting to shoot people. Why? Who were they?
Who were they? I guess they were working for John Cena because he was trying to.
No, but John Cena didn't know that.
He didn't
the
know
key
that
was
she
a person.
Was the key. Yeah, look, don't. As soon as you start to try and think about anything in this
I
movie,
I think they just wanted to be like, let's
up.
Have a scene where there's three women and they kick loads of men's butts.
Yeah.
But then they're ultimately rescued by a man.
All right, let's leave it there. Thanks for listening. We are, as always, at The Cinemile on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So come and say hello and tell us what you thought of Fastly 9
and Patreon, come over where we watch lots of retro movies and we watch all the TV shows, and we're the Patreon, what are we, patreon.com/thecinemile. We love our Patreon. We have so much fun where we do polls and you guys pick what we're going to watch and talk about, and
yeah, we talked about Loki most recently and lots of other TV shows we're watching,
yeah,
and we're about to watch Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So excited for that one. And that one is for the theme that one of our loyal listeners, Kate, picked, which was
non-actors acting.
Non-actors acting. Yeah. And we're going to watch that one this month, so we can't wait.
So patreon.com/thecinema.
Okay.
And we'll leave it there. Bye, everyone.
Oh. You forgot to say grace.
You say it. But how do you say grace, Kathy?
I don't know.
You just say what's in your heart. Bye.
Bye.
Really? Duct tape?
You acting like we on our way to Home Depot.
Put it!
No tape!
Ah! I don't want to die!
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
What would you say if I told you there's a book that can teach you how to win The Bachelor?
What would you say if I told you producers caught multiple finalists reading that book in this season that's currently airing?
What would you say if I told you the producers don't want anyone to know that their show has been compromised?
How do we know all this? We wrote that book.
I'm Lizzie Pace.
And I'm Chad Colchin.
We're the authors of How to Win the Bachelor and the hosts of the Game of Roses podcast, a bi-weekly podcast where we break down all the biggest plays, errors, and MVPs in the game of reality television.
Listen to Game of Roses wherever you get your podcasts and go to howtowinthebachelor.com to get our book.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.